Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Rap Podcast for episode 8. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Well, I'm a little... I don't know what to say about it. I'm still... I've put on a little weight lately because I'm still growing into my belly button, and I'm feeling kind of weird about it. How are you, Brian?
Is that still... Can I get upset for you calling yourself fat? Is that now... Am I the one storming out of the room? Is that how we're going to play this?
See, that's what... Morgan really needs to learn self-deprecation because that's the only safe route. You're only safe when you make fun of yourself.
That's the only making fun of I try to do, so that's perfect.
Let's tell our commenters that. You're only safe if you talk bad about yourself. No, I'm kidding. We have great commenters.
Lesson for the kids out there.
Speaking of great commenters, I want to thank Scraptoria, and I only hesitated because I'm reading my own handwriting and it's atrocious, and Christy Swee for your 5-star Are You the One related reviews. We really appreciate it. Ooh. And are glad someone's listening to this.
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking about this. Even though we decided to do the every other, we've basically only missed like 2 weeks of the entire season, right?
I know. The MTV, I know we complained a lot about the scheduling originally, but ever since, you know, besides scheduling the shows overlapping, everything else in their schedule has really worked out for us.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about like, oh, next week's a 2-hour finale. So that, and then it's just over. And it's like, oh, look at that. It's packing, closing nightly. Oh my God, I can't speak.
It's okay, Brian.
I've had a rough 48 hours.
You know, if I'm not criticizing Brian, it's because I genuinely feel bad for him. It's like Jerry after he gets mugged in the park. Like,
it is.
Or we're all like biting our tongues.
I feel like Kramer after the after he gets the Novocaine in his mouth, he's just spewing all over the place.
Let's make more references. It's like, no, I'm kidding. So if you want to leave reviews to wrap up this season, you can, or just subscribe and see what you've missed. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. All the Are You the One stuff is also there.
Yes. Leave reviews, comments, anything you want.
And we're there sitting at the screen, biting our nails, waiting to hear your feedback. So thank you to those people. Any other new business before we get to the episode? I feel like I'm starting a board meeting.
I don't think so. What were the minutes from last week? Do we have any we have anything to tackle for last week?
This is going to be a good one. I feel it in my bones, like there. Justin Timberlake.
But honestly, I need, whenever we don't do a podcast, I need the previously on, because I like, each episode of this show almost just feels like its own season because I can't really remember anything that happens week to week. So like, I really appreciated the previous season just to remind myself, all right, Gio was an asshole again last week. I forgot.
I appreciate that you even brought up that we didn't do a podcast last week because I forgot to pull up my notes, but now I have them up because technology is wonderful. Any thoughts from last week? I was making just a joke about new and old business, but we do have old business to attend to.
No, I was rooting for the Cam and Victoria perfect match. It was sad that that came crumbling down. I know they were your favorite couple.
Yeah, but I will say, like, again, in no way, shape, or form was it ever possible that they were a match.
But that's why it almost made sense that they would be a match.
It was tragic. Like, the scene at the Adam and Eve party was, like, one of my favorite scenes in history. Cam is, like, quickly becoming, like my... I was sleeping on him. He's probably, like, my favorite person I've ever just, like, totally slept on. I'm thinking of him in history of reality TV. Like, I had no interest in just, like, his affairs other than... or I didn't think I was going to be interested. When he was, like, you have to love yourself before you can love someone else, I was, like... Can I get an amen? Like, he was just so RuPaul's Drag Race right there. And I want to know if Cam has been listening to RuPaul or if this is a total coincidence. I feel like it's a coincidence.
I'm going to lean that way too, but you know what? You never know. The audience of shows would surprise people sometimes.
He's been surprising me all season, so I guess why not surprise me with being a RuPaul fan?
I felt vindicated in my Emma hate from all season when she started to shit on Nicole, because that's the girl of the house you don't shit on, and I didn't appreciate her calling her a soccer mom.
I totally agree, although I will say if someone called me a soccer mom, I would be like, oh my God, thank you. Because I feel like soccer moms like really have their shit together, and I'm like the mom like pulling up to the field like with my kid in like a ballet outfit by accident, like I've dressed them for the wrong occasion.
But yeah, I mean, just does Cole Nicole, like, I mean, I guess in that world, yeah, it is a compliment because she's probably the most normal of those, of that trio or that group of women. So for calling her a soccer mom, yeah, that is actually, maybe she was being nice. I'm going to take it back. Maybe I was just being super nice. It was all a compliment.
No, it was tragic. I mean, my notes literally say, like, do not come for Nicole. Like, I knew you weren't going to like it. I didn't like it. And she calls her the weirdest girl in the house. And it's like, Emma doesn't realize that she's being edited to be portrayed as the weirdest girl in the house. Like, Emma's like the girl on the side, like with a stank face on. And,
yeah. You
know, Nicole is like widely loved. So it's just, that's just like totally not aware of the edit. I don't know how she could have been.
Very bad self-awareness right there.
I will say that Victoria, once every episode, I see myself in Victoria, because when she says, I know I'm wrong about most of the things I feel, but I still feel them, I was just like, oh my God, where is there room on my forehead to get that tattooed?
Yeah, that's a great like AIM status.
Yeah, that's perfect. That is my current AIM profile.
But I mean,
or yeah, my LinkedIn bio.
Your LinkedIn bio, yeah. Make that your objective on your resume.
Is LinkedIn the adult AIM?
Sure, I guess so. We could go with that. You have to create like a whole profile so you can do it in different fonts and colors and then add a music quote at the end.
That's going to be my second reference, my first of two references to LinkedIn, this podcast, just FYI.
Ooh, I can't wait for the second one.
Yeah, for anyone who had two, you win. And then anything else from last? I mean, I just literally have Gio as an effing weirdo, but that could have been this week too.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it. What the hell happened when he's like, Kaylin, I want you and Julia next to each other, and I want to like give you the business. Like, what was that lineup that he called?
I have
like,
no idea. Was he hoping it would turn into a threesome? Was that was like my only logical thing that he was possibly thinking about?
I mean, that's optimistic, because I thought he was about to be like, Julia, I care about you so much that I'm going to compare you to Kaylin directly, who I once loved. Julia, like, you're prettier. Julia, like, I was afraid he was like going to rip on Kaylin. And the other question is, why does Kaylin agree to his shit?
I don't know. Gio's, he's just such a weird dude. Like, he's like an asshole, but he's also just weird. Like, the things he says, it's like he's high all the time. Like, if he was actually on shrooms or something like that, he would just be like out of this freaking world.
We would like to start a Kickstarter to like make a collection for Gio to do drugs.
And maybe he was on Adderall all season.
Look, I feel like I've already implicated myself in something I don't want to be a part of. But yeah, that was crazy. And then what I do like about this season is like Cam and Victoria are supposedly like a really strong couple in the house. They get no match, surprising to no one. And we're not really seeing anyone this season that was like a tight couple that refused to break up. Like, we're not seeing the Brandon and Christina. We're not seeing the Shanley and Chris T. And I like that. Like, I like that the drama isn't like, we don't care. I mean, we'll see what happens with Julia and Steven next week, but like, we're not seeing an adamant refusal to play the game.
And the closest we've seen is just like one way, like with John not wanting to leave, but we never saw the both of them wanting to do it. And I think next week, Julia won't. I would be shocked if she was wanting to cling to Steven. That doesn't seem to be in her nature. So I don't think we're going to get it all season.
Or it doesn't seem like there's room in her current relationship status to be clinging to Steven.
That is very true.
It's complicated. All right, so let's get into this episode.
Yeah, so Gio makes a claim that he's playing to win, but not really what everyone else is playing to win. He's just playing to win his version of the show, whatever that means.
I'm so glad you were aware of what happened, because all I wrote was, I genuinely can't even take notes when Gio talks.
that's all you needed to know, because he just rambles on nonsense all the time. It's either nonsense or him just being a jerk. So that's all you got from Gio.
What do you make of Julia's like anti-kiss platform?
You know, if I didn't know she had a boyfriend, I would almost believe it. And it's kind of like almost a genuinely sweet thing to see coming into this house of someone not just wanting to sleep around and just jump right into things. But knowledge of her that she has a boyfriend, it's like, oh, she just doesn't want to mess up the boyfriend back home. That's like just what it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, this whole kissing's more intimate than sex thing to me. Like, my eyes literally like hit a part in the back of my head that I didn't even know was possible for an eye roll to hit. But I agree, like, this episode, I really did find myself like finding the moments between Julia and Steven sweet and genuine. And then I had to remind myself that it's bullshit. But my one question is, is if you're going on a dating show and it's like okayed by your boyfriend, is kissing not part of the arrangement? Like, it shocked me that she didn't have like full permission to be kissing Steven if she wanted to.
I just don't get how you have give permission to go on a dating show to begin with. Like, once you go on the show, isn't that just you're breaking up? Like, oh, I'm going to go on a show to find my perfect match. But no, we're still good, but I'm just going to find someone else who might be better.
I mean, I just really had the urge to singing a together song, and I didn't. So you're welcome, everyone. No, I agree. But the thing is like the only thing I can think about with it, and this happened with like someone on Dating Naked, or someone was on The Bachelor and was on Dating Naked. I forget the story. I'm sorry. Or someone who was on an MTV show's boyfriend was on Dating Naked, whatever. If you're both trying to be actors, like Julia's a model, she clearly wants to be a model actor. It's like not different. This is like the low level equivalent of like a married person kissing another professional actor in a movie, right? It's like, I'm going on the show. I'm going to be acting. I'm playing the part of single person looking for love and fame. And she's just not looking for love.
I guess that could have been the conversation. And then maybe she was just, I really just think she's trying to keep as much distance as she can from Steven, because maybe she does somewhat like him and doesn't want to get caught up in it.
Caught up. All right. I'm going to stop saying, I don't know why I'm like making this carpool karaoke right now. Yeah, it's weird. And we'll get more into it when they do eventually kiss. I mean, it becomes like, it's a very sweet moment. But what takes me out of these moments is the fact that every conversation with Julia, whether it's with Gio or with Steven, are in these like egg cage chairs. I don't understand why Julia like hasn't left and seen the rest of the house. It's a big place, Julia, like explore.
Yeah, everyone. It is weird. That's like her spot. Maybe she just avoids everyone, stays there, and then summons people to her lair.
Ooh, that feels gross. I feel like we brushed over this 2 weeks ago. It was just because we didn't have a podcast on. I'm not sure. What do you make of Kaylin and John?
I gotta be honest, I didn't even remember they had a connection. They started talking that they said, oh, we have tons of things in common. I'm like, I don't remember them speaking. This was a thing going back more than this week?
Well, Tyler and John got into it at the end of last week's episode, which we just skipped over in our intro, because why would we talk about it? I mean, it was so ridiculous. But yeah, John is like convinced that Kaylin's now his match. But what's weird in this scene, and I can relate, but like Kaylin cannot get a word out. Every time she's like, oh, like when I moved in with my dad because my mom kicked me out in eighth grade. That's exactly how I felt when I moved in with my dad. John, it's like, how do you even know how she felt?
John loves to agree. He's a big agreeer. Anything that he'd be like, yeah, oh my God, I had that sandwich one time too, like last year. We're perfect matches. He just wants to agree. And it's like a weird quality in a person.
I completely disagree. No, I'm just kidding. I like to disagree, so I can almost relate to him. But yeah, no, that's something I know nothing about, is someone who wants to be agreeable.
But I mean, look, I guess parental background is something that could lead to someone being paired together as a perfect match. So it's definitely more plausible than his reasoning for Julia, because they live within like neighboring towns or whatever.
No, it's right. But it's another thing of what like John likes to do, which is he sees someone he wants to be his perfect match and then finds every commonality that could possibly be the case. So like, at least there's something more substantial with Kaylin.
Love yourself, John, and then figure out who you can love. Don't just love everything.
Maybe Cam is John's perfect match.
There
Wouldn't that
go.
Be a twist?
Ooh, there's a fun twist. That would be a great twist they put into the show.
We'll be waiting season 5. Looking at you.
Yeah, they've taken some of our ideas for the challenge, put them in Are You the One. Actually, they've taken some of our ideas for the show, too.
Well, yeah, so someone tweeted at us like that MTV must be listening to the podcast because the exes were back this week, which I will give throw credit back to MTV for, because the only reason I want their exes back is because I remember when the exes were there from season 1.
Right. But this was a womp womp. Like, the exes didn't even need to be there for this one. They offered nothing. In fact, they couldn't even get all the exes.
Yeah. Nick Fishman says, do you feel sort of robbed by the exes challenge? The Gio versus Steven drama kind of overshadowed any fun with the exes.
Yeah, that's basically all it was. I mean, and they didn't have any interaction. Like, they should have had the exes do stuff with the girls rather than just sitting on a chair answering questions. Like, there was no interesting dynamic at all that they brought in.
Yeah, what we're always looking for is I'm looking to a return to the Khaleesi and Dylan moment where the exes, and I do believe they did have interaction. We just didn't see it because Francesca was like, I got along so well with Soph's ex, like whatever, on Twitter. But it's useless if we don't see it. Like the guys' exes were there. They got put back in the house on season one, right? Khaleesi and Dylan were season one.
Yeah.
And like the ex still had feelings for Dylan. It was like this huge drama. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see, or like Amanda hooked up with her ex. Like, give me that. Give me that.
Yeah. Instead, we just got Steven slamming the tablet on the ground and Gio giving his minister a smile and Prosper twiddling his thumbs.
Well, let's talk about Prosper, because that was one of the funniest things in the history of Are You the One?
Yeah. How do they not get one person to come? Like he said, it's a free trip to Hawaii. Who just says no?
I can't do anything, but I was literally multiple times laughing out loud last night when I watched this. Yeah, basically, like, Ryan kind of shames him. Like, your longest relationship was 3 weeks. I'm trying to think, if I was involved with someone for 3 weeks and MTV called me and was like, hey, you remember this guy, Prosper, who probably screwed you over when you wanted something more and he just left? As told by Prosper, you want to fly out here and represent him as his ex? Like, I don't know about that. It's a vacation just for you. You know, it's not like you get to bring a friend and you probably get sent right back. I'd still go.
I mean, it's a free trip to Hawaii, even if it's for a day. I mean, take the mileage and then use it for something else.
I would go, like, and pretend I was your ex, honestly, now I'm thinking about it. We've had a longer relationship than anything Prosper's ever had.
That's definitely true. I'm 100%. It actually would make sense for Prosper. It seems like he's giving off that type of appeal that he's been like a 3 week or less guy. He says, I don't think he's mentioned any long term girlfriends throughout the season. So it kind of made sense.
Poor Prosper. Ashley Bedazowitz has a very pressing question about this challenge. What are the chances someone can actually throw an entire box of wine at someone?
I would believe it if Tyler was the target. Like, they would make, they would will themselves to do it.
It's like the moms that lift cars off of babies.
Yeah. So I can understand someone hating Tyler that much.
I also feel like they definitely like tapped out most of it and she threw like an empty box.
Right. It's like when they carried the wine jug, the barrels. It's like maybe it was like empty or something like that.
I will say, for anyone who listens to the, I don't think I've addressed this on the Are You the One podcast, but I'm not sure. People who listen to us on the Challenge podcast know how upset I get about wasted dessert. Don't even get me started on wasted wine. I don't even want to get into it. I'm like so upset at the idea. The only benefit was that it's a box, so it won't break and the wine is potentially still drinkable after the throw.
Yeah, maybe she then, when Tyler stormed out, she went to go pick it up and drink it. One can only hope.
Yeah, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, anything else from these exes challenge you thought was interesting at all? Even remotely interesting?
No, I mean, some of the questions were kind of odd. Like, why I guess some of them weren't expecting people to match, but to have a question where it's like, choose one word to describe a relationship, I don't know how anyone's supposed to just match on that. But I mean, I guess they brought some interesting stuff on it.
Yeah, that was both crazy and ridiculous, but I was happy that they gave that a match. Like, at least they were lenient.
Yeah, I mean, those are fairly close enough.
I do feel like we might be sleeping on Morgan in just the sense that his ex, like, couldn't say enough good things about him.
I know, that's the thing. Like, I want to like Morgan, but again, it's all this off-camera stuff is like, well, he may actually just be a complete and utter jerkbag. So I don't know if I can like him, but he is, like, funny. And even when he did the thing with Tori, like, it was almost endearingly stupid what he said, but like, it's not like a vicious thing that he said. And he does seem like a pretty smart guy, even though his plan tonight kind of, you know, blew up in his face.
Yeah, well, when she's basically like, oh, Morgan's like a closet genius, like behind all the muscles, like whatever. No surprise there. Check his LinkedIn. We knew that going into the show. Morgan had the most, for anyone who didn't listen to our preview, the most comprehensive LinkedIn, including like three separate resumes and bios and, you know, his Pokemon Go name. Like, I don't know. He just had every bit of information you could possibly want. So that was no surprise. It was a surprise that she said he's one of the only ones that the ex said he's ready to settle down. But
yeah,
good on Morgan.
Yeah, good for him. Settle down. We'll see.
Settle down off camera. My big question, I tweeted this out in hopes that somebody would know the answer, which was fruitless. Can Julia reject the date? Gia wins, ask Julia. Can Julia say no, thank you?
I would guess not. I don't think they would allow it, especially because it would produce as good slash awkward TV as this would.
I don't know. Wouldn't that be incredible if like everybody says no to Gio's date?
I guess that would be pretty cool, but I assume at one point someone would just accept just for the thrill of, you know, having your own camera time and going on whatever the hell they did.
Yeah, I do think we have talked about the possibility of someone declining a date before and just like they wouldn't because it's camera time and it's like a thing in Hawaii. But at the same time, like Gio is the first time where I feel like it actually would be terrifying to be Julia and go on the date. It's not just like you don't like them. This is not like a Carly and Evan from Bachelor in Paradise. This is like, ooh, this person could eat me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would have been pretty amazing to hear her say no. And then even if the production stepped in, they showed them stepping in and be like, no, you have to go. That almost would have been better.
Before we get to how cringeworthy Gio and Julia were, so Emma and Prosper have this, I almost said they go on the date. No, John and Kaylin also go on the date, but Emma and Prosper have this like kind of like cuddle session. To me, like Emma really doesn't seem interested. Like everything about her body language is like avoiding. I don't know. What do you make of Emma and Prosper's connection?
I think she's just interested because she wants someone to be interested in her. And she just likes being wanted. And she's just now just waiting for John to come back around.
It's so frustrating because she literally has like one of the hottest guys in the house, easily like with one of the best personalities, interested in her. And she's like pretending to be into him. I don't know. I wish she would just like not pretend.
Right. She's another one just like seems like a socially awkward person, right? Like when she was like, oh, Prosper's like, oh, you're like, your DL, like really hot. And she's like, I know. And I don't think
I
she
love
was
that.
I don't think she was
so
trying to be funny.
Funny.
I just think she's just like awkward like that.
No, I feel like she does have like that kind of sense of humor and like is normally comp. I don't know. This season, it feels like more than any other season, we're really seeing the girls like suffer from insecurities that this show would bring. I mean, God forbid I'm ever in a situation like this and like somebody's not into you. Like that's kind of what some of the girls are dealing with. Like Victoria is constantly doubting herself because you're basically in direct competition with 9 other beautiful women. And I do feel like women deal with it way differently than men do. Camille is struggling with that. Emma is struggling with like just hardcore cold rejection. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we've seen that on the other seasons as much as we are now. And I do feel like Emma's personality is like not really showing through. And I think in moments like that, I want to believe that that's like her being funny because I laughed. I thought that was great.
Yeah, it is interesting that for this season, most of the cases, it's the girls doing the chasing except for Gio. And he just looks like a complete mess. But yeah, none of the other guys are really chasing any of the girls except for anyone chasing Julia.
Well, it's like Tori has done really well. Julia has done really well. And I'm saying done really well by like capturing guys' attention. That's not a measurement of doing well. But in this show, right, like she's done well with the guys. Julia's done well. Like we saw that whole bloodbath with Francesca and like her like sleeping with him out of insecurity. You know, it's been a lot of female insecurity, which I can't blame them for. I'm actually surprised this is the first time we're really seeing it as a consistent theme.
Yeah, it's kind of good that they are showing it. This does feel like one of the more realer seasons, which is good. It like I think maybe it plays to the fact that all these couples aren't just staying together after being matches. There is a lot of bouncing around and mixing and matching, which is kind of refreshing.
Yeah, definitely. And then the Morgan and Tori moment. Ashley Bedazzowitz wants to know, how would you react if your significant other asked you in bed, quote, is that why you put on weight?
You tell me, how would that go?
Well, how would it go? I think you want to hear you put on weight?
No, I mean, no one wants to hear that. So. But I mean, love it. Was like, was that an insult? Are you upset that I said that?
Look, I've freaked out for lesser things just in my daily life. It like on the street, like anywhere. No, it needless to say would not go well. I mean, it's again, that's another moment where you like see it happening and you know what he meant. Like he was just like going, being playful, right, like being playful. And it was just like a total miss.
You know what his problem was? Miss. He didn't say it in an accent. said an accent, it would have slid right by.
Is that why you put on weight?
Yeah.
We got, no, I did not mean weight. I meant height. You grew.
By weight, I meant hot. Like, your hot is growing.
By weight, I meant you have a fat ass, not you're a fat ass.
Right, exactly.
But it just in general, this was like a very weird conversation between Tori and Morgan. Like, these are, I almost wish this Morgan moment didn't happen, because otherwise we wouldn't have seen this like pillow talk like conversation, because it was very bizarre. Like, but it does give you a key into Morgan's mind, because Tori's like, would you want to repopulate the world with me? And she's like, oh, like, I don't think I'd be cool with the incest.
The humor doesn't seem to be there, and when he makes humor, it doesn't go well. So he needs to work on that part of his brain. So then, basically after that, we just jump to the date featuring. If this was back in week one, each pair would be reversed, but kind of interesting now the way it's shaked out here.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, John and Kaylin and Gio and Julia swap them both week one. There's your date.
And I do like Julia's the one who points that out. Like, I thought that was great on her end. And first of all, it was like a wakeboarding date. And I will say, have you ever wakeboarded?
No.
Wakeboarding is low key very hard. It looks like, whatever.
It did not seem easy at all, which was kind of surprising to see John just kill it. He must have done this before. I don't think that's something you just pick up and do well.
Well, on a personal note, my brother picked it up very easily. We went wakeboarding one time. I was like, someone who put on weight because to grow into their belly button and just like sunk to the bottom. Right. My brother was like basically doing like backflips like Simone Biles on a wakeboard.
Oh, but there you go.
But he had water skied. So maybe John was like a really good water skier and just had the edge.
Okay. So he had the practice. He had the close similarity to it. So he was good to go.
And I might be underplaying this because Kaylin, we get when they talk to the camera, confessional, whatever, an interview with Kaylin where she's like, Julia looks so uncomfortable. And then after that, like, I was seeing it, and I may just be, maybe Julia is genuinely afraid of Gio, but when they're holding hands, like, if someone I hate is touching me, they're not touching me.
That's what I was thinking too. I thought she was almost buying into it on the date. And then when she called, she says she was being uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't know. I think she could be talked into this if Gio plays his cards right, which, like, he didn't, but he could have.
If Julia wanted to, Julia's sitting with John and Kaylin on the boat. Like, if you want to like mount a full blown resistance to Gio, like, you don't have to sit with him. Like, I know, like, I do think she could adamantly refuse to go on the date. Let's say production is like scaring her and telling her she won't get her prize money. Okay, fine. Then just go make it a group hang. The ultimate like 13-year-old's way of getting out of a date, group hang.
Yeah. Or at the very least, you could stop him from touching you. Like, that is 100% what you could have done. Just jump off the boat if you need to. Like, that's one way to get rid of him. But yeah, I thought she was on the boat at least kind of feeling it.
Right. I mean, I don't think she was like feeling him. I just think she was like not mounting
repulsed.
A resistance.
Not repulsed.
Yeah. I mean,
which
that's
is in Gio terms, feeling it.
I amazing. I maybe like, let's give 50% possibility that she was like genuinely scared. And when you're scared, you kind of like lean into this kid potentially. So
right.
Who knows? But from my perspective, like, no one's holding my hand if I hate you.
No. And when they talked on the pier, whatever their picnic, whatever the hell they were doing, it's clear that all Gio wants to do is just hook up with her. That's all he literally cares about.
Well, yeah, she says, like, she calls him out. Is like, it's only physical with you. And he's like, physical is the purest form of connection. What's wrong with that? Yeah. It's like, everything you say is wrong.
I don't do foreplay.
He doesn't even do dates. I don't think if he were on MTV, there wouldn't even be a date.
Yeah. Ugh, screw dinner. Let's jump to it.
Well, when he says... You know, if it says perfect match, you're mine. That was the worst moment in either one history, I think.
Yeah, he owns you, Julia. Nowhere you can go. You have to go with him. It's a rule. All of 30 perfect matches in previous seasons are all together. It's a fact.
It's literally on Parks and Rec when Andy Dwyer is like playing pool for Anne. And he's like, okay, I get Anne. I won. And it's like, except this is not scripted television. And he honestly believes that he gets Julia if it's his perfect match.
Right.
These matches have no bearing on your life. Have you not seen the first three seasons?
I'm going to go with no for him.
Was he recruited? Like, did they find him in like a Connecticut bar?
Oh, they found him at some boxing gym. Remember, he was building up to become the next great UFC champion. He got plucked out to come on Ari the One, because that's where all your future UFC fighters come from.
Wait, is that where they did they actually find him in the show? No, oh, I was like, that seems so real.
That's what he basically said in his bio. He's like a trained boxer or something like that.
Well, we'll get to it. But Gia did a Periscope and my new best friend watched it and got back to me with the highlights. And one of them is that one of Gio's exes works for MTV, so she wasn't allowed on the show. And maybe, like, is it possible that she was the connection to get him on Are You the One? That she was like, oh my God, guys, I dated this complete train wreck. You got to get him on the show.
Wait, so what do you mean she works for MTV, she wasn't allowed on the show? Like, she would have been a producer and she just wasn't allowed on set?
No, like, as his ex. Like, she wasn't allowed to.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the intricate details of
it. Maybe it was like a restraining order or something. That would be wild.
Oh, that's wild. Sorry, that's my Julie Jen impression. The one thing is we see absolutely nothing from Kaylin and John's date. And I want to say, if they were a match, I mean, I know we end up, they black out, but at this point I knew that there was no chance that they were a match, because we would have absolutely seen at least one moment from the date.
Yeah, they would have given us something, even if just them throwing sand at each other or just drinking wine and smiling at each other. They would have shown something. So,
yeah, all we got from Kaylin was like a reaction to Gio and Julia's date.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically all we got from Kaylin, most people this entire episode, was just reactions to Gio.
What's your reaction to the truth booth heard around the world, a.k.a. by no one? No surprise here. Not a match.
It was... Normally, I do root for like the worst outcome for these people. So I was partly wanting it to be a perfect match just to see the result. But at this point, I want to see Gio make it all the way to the end and watch him suffer even more. So I was happy it was not a perfect match.
Yeah, I did say early on that like the way things work out in my life is like guys like Gio end up being right. But I was happy to see her. This was like a lot of delayed gratification for Kaylin, for Steven. And at this point in the episode, like, I'd almost been rooting for Steven and Julia against my own better judgment. So I was pretty happy here. The only thing that blows it then is the blackout later. Like, we didn't even get, you know, 15 full minutes with the satisfaction about how much Gio sucks.
I know, in my notes, I wrote Steven crying, and I'm like, oh, I wrote, please also not be a match, because that would be perfect.
Well, that was incredible, because it's like all of a sudden Julia and Steven are like, now we're a match. It's like, no.
No, now it's like you have like a 1 in 7 shot of being a match. Congrats.
If anything, you've ruled out like the only pairing you already knew could be ruled out.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone's crying. Gio is like weak, you know, total bullshit, like, oh, like wobbling over. And we get Julia like, there's someone there for you, Gio, like, you'll find your man. Like, come on, like, get it together, Gio, like, stop acting. All that's hurt is his pride.
Yeah, and his actual third eye.
That is amazing. The third eye Gio thing never gets old.
Yeah.
Oh. Too many man tears. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be shaming men for crying, but in this situation, there was nothing to cry about.
It's shame both of them, because Steven crying is absurd.
Oh, yeah.
And Gio crying is almost equally or more absurd. I would be fine with you taking either one of them as more absurd.
Yeah, I'm serving up heaping spoonfuls of shame all around. Even John getting involved. You owe everyone an apology. John, you still owe people apologies from week 2. So don't even get
seriously
started.
Pipe down, John. And to say like you and Kaylin are some like the strong couple that deserve to be in, like get out of here with that. Like, if you're that strong, like, why did she like was about to marry some guy like 2 weeks before that?
Everyone just needs to get out of here.
Everyone just get out
drop
of there.
The show, get out. Just
you
just
get out of there.
We need to address the Julia and Steven sweet moment that was like actually kind of sweet, and then we get a lotion shot.
Yeah, what the hell was going on there? I was like, oh, this is so nice. And then, whoa, okay, well, I guess we're taking the next step up from kissing.
Well, okay, so Camille was going ham on Twitter, one of my favorite people on Twitter, which is a big turnaround from what I first felt with her about Twitter. She had this tweet, and I only segmented a part of it, which was zero to lotion real quick. I was crying about that.
And that's a good tweet.
We have a major allegation from Camille. I don't kiss, blah, 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 gives hand jobs every night, #NBD. So sweet, maybe sex is not as a big deal as kissing is for Julia.
Yeah, she's what's the character's name from Not Another Teen Movie? She doesn't sleep with any guy that gives her notes. She just gives hand jobs.
So not so innocent, Julia.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I can't believe the MTV caught that, though. Steven should be all like sly sliding in there. Nope. Boom.
There's nothing sly about taking like a gallon like press tube of lotion, like whatever that was. Like he literally like pulled that from like a doctor's office sized like bottle of lotion.
But they're still together, right? Julia and the boyfriend. I wonder how it's going to be after this episode.
Well, Molly Block is also curious about that, as always on the same wavelength. Says, how does the kiss between Julia and Steven affect the Julia boyfriend rumors?
Well, if she goes by your plan, just say, oh, it was in the script, episode 8. I had to finally give him the kiss. So that way, when we're ruled not a perfect match, it would give full closure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they definitely had an agreement. And if they didn't, I feel like she could. Well, the kiss, I feel like, is less major than the lotion. But I feel like she could be like, oh, MTV just like makes everything look bad, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like people always bitch about the edit. And
right. They zoom in on condoms on the ground.
I'm not confident in Julia's boyfriend's intelligence for even letting her do this in the first place. So I feel like she could probably get away with anything.
Right.
Not intelligence, but like backbone. Like he clearly is not standing up for himself in the relationship.
Clearly not. Not after letting her go on the show, which is, again, just remarkable. Or choosing to go, like why anyone in a relationship would go on this type of show is bizarre. But yeah.
Let's speculate more on their relationship. So I feel like he probably, no, I'm just kidding. All right. The moment. Well, I'm just skipping Francesca and Asaf because I'm like over them.
OK.
Do you have anything?
No, nothing.
What is your reason not to kiss me?
Try me.
Gross. Yeah, I just felt icky after this. I know they're supposed to be like a couple we're rooting for. I'm just
not
rooting
for
them.
Why are we supposed to be rooting for them? He's treated her like absolute shit all season.
Well, no, he like treated her like shit just so that he could then rescue her from his own pile of shit and put Camille's face in it.
Okay, so that's the sympathetic figure of Are You the One?
I don't know, but like at this point, we're supposed to be like feeling like this is a cute moment between them. Like I feel like she's like a 5-year-old child with him, and it's like grossing me out.
Yeah, it's I don't like them together. So,
all right, do you like this matchup plan?
Not really. I mean, I'm all for like strategy talk and all that stuff, but I found this to be idiotic. What is all these new matchups gonna like? Gonna show for you?
I do like kind of get the feeling that it's just like, all right, well, there's no one, like every match we've had is wrong, so what if we just like try nothing that makes sense, you know, like our opposite of our instincts. And then they feel like they have a safety plan with Camille and Asaf, which is almost what last season did, but they had to wait till the last week to do it. So in that respect, it's like it kind of makes sense to do it before the last week, like pick a pair and base all the matches on that. And then, I mean, this is kind of different because they randomized it, whereas Devin like knew who people were sitting with, but it almost makes like at least 1% of sense. Your mom, Sue Cohen, wrote, obviously it didn't work out, but do you think it was a good move to try to play with strategy? It seemed like they just made totally random picks that made no sense.
I mean, I'm a little scarred from the last time we tried to talk probability on this podcast, so I don't really want to go there, but it just seemed like you still have to go based on some type of connection. For the most part, there is some level of reason to like being a perfect match, and just to for Tyler just to pick Emma out of nowhere, like, or other match like that. Like, I don't know what you're gaining from that. Like, if two beams go up, what does that show for you?
Yeah, this was it. Yeah, I mean, what they really needed to do was get the cups out, do what Devin did, and base it all on one, like, let's say you base it on Camille and Asaf being a match, and then think about who was sitting with who and beams are lit. Like, don't just put an ace in the hole. Like, think, okay, they're definitely a match. Like, you had two beams right. Like, I just think they had more to learn from keeping a couple more matches the same than what they did.
I mean, look, finding out Asaf and Camille and John and, Steven and Julia aren't a match are, I'm sure, probably confirmed all the perfect matches on the math side of it. So now I'm sure they have all the pieces to figure it out.
I do actually think they had all the pieces last week.
Oh, well, there you go.
After last week, like for this week, like they could have already had it. based on like comments. Like, I'm not on Are You the One Math anymore, because at this point they always have it.
Right.
Not always, but they were definitely gonna have it. But people like wrote about it. And what's hilarious is like Gio and Alyssa and a couple of people are like complaining about people like leaking the matches. It's not a leak. Like, it's like they know who the matches are.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it's not like there's. It's not a spoiler. It's yeah, it's math. That's different than a spoiler.
Well, what you're saying with Asaf and Camille and Julia and Steven, like, yes, it's valuable, but it's nowhere near as valuable as it has blackouts have been in the past, because all the couples were random.
Yes. And like because it's also so later in the game, too.
Right. But like they broke up two big couples. Like if Emma and Prosper were together, I mean, who knows if that would have been a blackout or not. But like if you had people matched up, and then you get a blackout, it's like, okay, all of these relationships, you were pretty much probably 8 of the 10 were matched for a reason. And now you break that up. This was like, okay, two couples aren't a match. You get two truth boosts out of a blackout, but it's not worth 250K.
No, definitely not. Yeah. What they gained was not worth what they lost.
Morgan had some like annoying tweet, which like, I'd much rather have a better shot at $38,000 than like no shot at $50,000, like team blackout. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, you don't have no shots, so that's just wrong.
One thing that really frustrated me is like Ryan does his typical like trying to shame them for not doing strategy. Not that this was like really strategy, but when he's like, you're like, when Camille's like, I'm putting myself second for the team, like I'm putting myself last, like blah, blah, blah. It is not a big deal who you sit with at this matchup. It's like 3 hours of your life.
No, don't you understand? Steven and Julia, they went through so much together. They had to, Julia had to go on that date. They had to go on the truth with, they deserve to sit next to each other. Come on.
Steven, by picking Julia, did the best thing for the house, because if he had picked someone random and they still blacked out, like they'd still think they're a match.
Yeah, that would have been a disaster.
But just the idea that everyone who picks someone random, Ryan is just like, how could you do this to the person you love? Like, whatever. It's like Zach tried to explain, Zach Longo in our interview last season tried to explain that like it is personal who you sit with. Bullshit. I'm sorry. I know I'm not on reality TV. I don't know. I'm just at home. It should mean absolutely nothing who you strategically determine with the rest of the house who to pick at a matchup.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I can understand. Like, I always understand the people who like can fall for someone quickly. The idea of 3 hours of your night not sitting directly next to the person that affects you, that's on you. That's not on the show.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm just frustrated with this whole thing. The one thing I'm not frustrated with is this moment between Kaylin and Gio that crops up at the matchup ceremony. We got a question later I'll ask, but this is my answer to it in terms of what the funniest moment. I'll just ask it now. Gabby Gladney says, this episode was particularly hilarious. So what scene was the funniest to you? This moment right here.
Which one are you talking about?
Gio's response. Kaylin basically gets asked like, oh, are you stoked about John or something? And she's like, well, like I have my own thing going on. And it's basically like, Gio, like, I loved you and you threw it away for nothing. And Gio's response here is so bad that it's almost a good response when he's like, loving someone enough to let them go is the hardest thing. Like, I did this for you. Like, while yes, him and Kaylin together would have been a complete disaster because Gio is a disaster. So he did inadvertently save Kaylin from like a lifetime of hell with Gio, but that was not his intention, obviously. And the phrase he's using, like the cliche number 5,000 from Gio, is not even appropriate because Kaylin loved him enough to let him go. It's like if he didn't want her, so she loved him enough to let him go for Julia.
And even more so, neither of them let each other go. The show let them go because they were deemed not a perfect match. If they were a perfect match, they would just be together.
Right. Well, because he dumped her before they were determined not a perfect match.
Sure. But if they were a perfect match, then they would just be off the show and be together.
Right. But in this context, it's like you don't break up with someone and then say, like, I don't love you. I love someone else. You're too clingy. I'm into Julia. And then say, like, I loved you enough to let you go. Like, that was, like, so, like, and he believes it. Like, I genuinely believe that something is off with Gio, and he, like, truly believes the shit that he's selling. It's unbelievable.
No, he believes every single word he said. There's no, I don't think there's anything about him that's fake at all. But asshole, yes. Fake, no. He is this person through and through.
You can't make this up.
No, you can't.
I really don't think you could make this up. In your wildest imagination, no one's making this up.
I mean, who could have predicted that Gio would try to spin this to compare himself to Jesus after all this? Like, well, that's some, that's like way out there on the spin zone.
What did you make of Camille's response to that?
Good for her. Hey, dust yourself off. Stop being a little bitch. I wish she went even harder at him.
Honestly, like,
a polite way.
It sounded like rap lyrics, and I'm just like, everyone else on this season is like going after a music career. Why not Camille?
Yeah, the problem is I've heard that line so many times because MTV, whenever they play the trailer, that's like the one line they always show is, you pick yourself off, you dust yourself off, and you help us win this money. It's like, that's like, could be the tagline for the entire show.
Well, when she was like, this isn't your crucifixion, this is your resurrection, I was like picturing a mic drop, like MC Camille out.
It's a pretty good line. Pretty good.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that album dropping. Like, Prosper and I had to drop a track. It's called The Resurrection, featuring Camille.
Nice little thing. Get some Tory in that, all in there.
All right. We have some questions. Boom, boom, boom. What do I want to ask? Okay. Andrew Kirk says, who do you guys think are the perfect match of the ones with the least amount of combinations? So Gio apparently has been in the truth, so only has 5 options left based on being the truth booth, as does Julia and Tori.
I have no idea who Julia's match is. Like, I mean, we've just seen nothing with her with anyone else other than John, Gio, and Steven. So I don't know who we could pick from there.
I still think Julia and Morgan are a match. There were like a couple times. I know this would mean Tori and Morgan were not matched this week, so they're not ruled not a match. No,
they could still be a match.
But I just still think that Julia and Morgan made the most like complete sense to me when Morgan's like, oh, she looks good on Instagram with me. Like, to me, I just feel like I could see MTV putting them together. I felt that way when they started getting matched in the getting matched at the matchups, and then they just kind of petered out. But I think that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
The Gio and Francesca thing, I still think could be true. So them both being children and needing to grow up, that could be true too.
So I'm just looking at the chart of the matches, not the perfect matches, just the match history. So I think the most information we really have is, I'm looking at this and I can't figure out what this means. So never mind. All right, never mind.
Bump, bump, bump.
Anyway, I never understand this stuff because we don't dig into it. If we dug into it, we would know the matches.
Yeah, I don't want to even start digging down because it probably doesn't take that long to find out and get a chart of seeing who the matches are.
Yeah, I just have a list of like who's matched up week 1, week 2, week 3, whatever, right. But let's not dig into it. But I do think that they're a match. I could see Francesca and Gio. I don't think Asaf and Francesca are matched just because they gross me out. So based on that, and then who would be Tori's match? I have no idea. Steven? Like, I don't even know.
Sure. Let's go with Steven.
Isn't that who she picked? Oh no. Tori picked Prosper. Kaylin picked Steven.
Who were the first that the love at first sight couples? Because that would be really funny if one of them was and they just picked the wrong one.
Let's see. It was Tori and Steven, I remember, Kaylin and Steven, because she was like, I like the guy with the tattoos. And then it was Prosper and Tori, and that's the one who got checked. And then I don't know who was the other one.
Was it just two? Or was it three?
It was definitely three. And I don't remember. Hmm. I'm trying to stall and look at these people's names and see if that helps me at all. Remember. Was John and Emma one? No.
I don't think so. No, because they kind of got together the first week, but they weren't like anything serious.
All right. While I dig into this, let's keep talking. Here's another question. Tom Palmer says, how funny is it that mathematically they won last week? So if they just did the math this week, they could have actually won.
Yeah, well, I always give them a little break with the math because it is a lot harder to do the math when you don't have pen, paper, calculator, computer, or anything. So I do give them a little bit of a break until like the last week when it's like, all right, spend like 5-6 hours and use paper cups and figure it out. But until then, I give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I agree. Like, let's not forget, as you said, they don't use pen and paper. Like, if you and I were to sit here and talk about it, like, we would probably still struggle to get, like, yeah, I mean, with nothing in front of us.
I would need to be writing stuff down to know all this stuff, so.
Okay, let me see. Questions. Marcy Gablitz says, if they lose, will we be shown who the real matches are?
That's the $750,000 question now, isn't it?
Do you think they're going to get this money?
Yeah, I do.
I like, for some reason, I just like assumed they were going to win. And then for some reason, I had this like little twang last night that was like, maybe this is the season that doesn't win.
The whole 2-hour finale next week is kind of weird, too. I don't know. Do you think it's going to be 2 episodes? Like, are we getting 2 ceremonies?
Well, it depends. I think it could be either way. Like, I don't think this is like spoiler by schedule. Like, it literally could just be 2 separate episodes that they just make one.
Right.
Or it could be we'll know halfway through the episode, right?
Sure.
Like, well, if they don't go to a matchup ceremony, they win.
Yeah. And then maybe they tack on a little bit of a reunion or something at the end. Who knows what they're going to do? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out next week.
Well, all the cast is saying, like, we didn't have a reunion. So
yeah,
I don't
but maybe
know.
They'll show more. Like, didn't they do like those
like, where
Skype
are they
clips
now?
Or whatever? Yeah, so maybe they can do something. Maybe they'll just didn't even know they were doing a reunion, but that's what they were doing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. Yeah, obviously the matches are out there, but as they demonstrated this week, like, they're not anywhere closer to knowing them just because they're available to know.
Right.
So we'll see. It'll be interesting. We speculate every year, if there was a season that didn't get the money, I definitely think they would reveal the matches.
Yeah.
They're not just going to say like, bye.
Yeah. Peace. See you later. I think they would reveal it. I still would just like to know why. I am actually rooting for this group to win. Like, I feel like they've done pretty well and they just kind of got stagnant near here, but I am rooting for them to win this time.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like doing well, like, they were lucky that like some of their real connections like were real matches, and I would be satisfied either way. I feel like every season I've just enjoyed the season of people like, so like on a personal level, like, sure, like, give them money.
Yeah.
But I would like to see what happens if they don't win.
Even it's like just an alternate reality, like fake ending they just put on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what would happen? It's like how you want to know what would happen if there's a tie at the final tribal council for Survivor. Like, I just want to know what happens.
Yeah.
How do we feel about it? Like, what's the reaction?
It's probably going to be very anticlimactic, whatever they do, but you just want to know it.
Yeah, no, I want to know, like, what would we podcast about? Like, how would we feel? Like, I want to do a fake podcast where they lose. Yeah. Leonite says, with the fight last week, should Gio have been kicked out of the house? He didn't actually push Steven. Prosper did, pushing him back when Gio rushed forward. But he seemed to have knocked Kaylin over. Plus, he seemed to make a lot of people feel uncomfortable in the house. Is that enough to be kicked off, in your opinion?
I didn't really see him knock Kaylin over. If he did, I guess that's probably a different discussion, but making people uncomfortable is not a sign to be kicked off. Like,
well, these on the real world. Sorry, I'm in a really squeaky rocking chair, so if you hear a lot of weird sounds, I really apologize.
I mean, they didn't really get kicked off for being uncomfortable. They got kicked off for punching someone in the face.
What? No, no, not this season, but like Ashley season, for example, like Explosion, like you can just like vote someone out of the house if the roommates don't want you there. Like, usually there has to be an incident, but they've definitely set like some sort of right. like MTV precedent where like if the house is uncomfortable, you could be made to leave.
Oh, sure. I mean, it definitely wouldn't be. MTV has no precedent for anything. They can do whatever the hell they want. So, I mean, they can kick someone out for doing anything. So, I mean, would I be shocked if Gio was kicked out for this? No, but like, I wouldn't want him to be kicked out for that.
I think, yeah, Are You the One, like, definitely the format disincentivized people getting sent home, because when Mike got sent home, it was, oh my God, I'm really sorry, this chair is so unfortunate. No, when Mike got sent home, like, there was only one matchup ceremony without him, or two, like,
I think two, but it was so funny.
But like, it's not great. Like, you'd rather everyone be there if you can. What I can't get a read on, I mean, like, Chad got sent home from Bachelor in Paradise. Sorry, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched, for basically making people uncomfortable, aka for no reason. Like, the producers basically just brought him in to send him home. So MTV definitely could send him home for no reason or for making people uncomfortable. But what I can't get a handle on is how the house feels about Gio, because I feel like he has some friends in the house, and sometimes like he's having good times with people, and sometimes I feel like everyone absolutely hates him. So I don't know if it's just like Steven and Julia don't like him, or if everybody can't stand him, how Kaylin feels. Like, I don't even know if they turned it to a house vote, how the votes would fall.
I mean, I think when Aesop voted, he was like, oh, this is my bro, this is my boy. So it seems like he's got a soft vote. He's got him in his corner. There's one. Yeah,
Asaf has always been defending him on Twitter and calls him his brother. But, I mean, I don't think John likes Gio. Steven doesn't like you. But, like, then Camille and Camille's speech, he's like, you feel like we're all attacking you, but, like, we're not. Like, we gave you this opportunity, like, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not really sure how people feel about him. I mean, then I thought everyone hated Gio, and then him and Francesca hooked up. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, there's also a difference between not liking.
I'm so sorry.
There's a difference between not liking someone and wanting them kicked off. So we don't know like where everyone falls on that line.
That's true. That's true. Cree Sui on Twitter wants to know F Mary Kill, Gio, Evan from Bachelor in Paradise, and Vinny the Pig from the Challenge. Let's say F Mary Banish. Kill is a little harsh. We banish.
I don't even know how to tackle these questions as a guy, so I'll let you take it.
This is 2016, Brian. Saying F, marry, kill to guys is not going to like turn you into someone who sleeps with guys.
I don't know like the qualifications for each of the things for me.
It's you as you.
Okay.
You have to just, you as you, put yourself in that position. Obviously, you don't want to do it, but you as you, it's okay.
All right.
No one's going to take your heterosexual card away.
Sure. I'll marry Vinny Pineapples.
Just to get closer to bananas.
Yeah, I want to be able to cash in on some of that money he's won. So maybe they can toss it off to his new cousin-in-law. Then I'll banish Gio. I just get him away from me. And then whatever's left to do with Evan, I'll do what I have to do.
Which makes a lot of sense because he's a specialist.
There you go.
I would say, and this is going to be shocking to people, I got to banish Evan just straight away. Yes, Evan is the grossest person I've ever seen. And just like felt, I was going to say been around. I haven't even been around him, but I feel like I've been too around him by watching Bachelor in Paradise. I'll marry Vinny and I'll.
Ooh, you want to get close to bananas too.
No, it's the best of the worst. Vinny at least like had one redeemable moment when he was like silent. So Eric Mordler says, in Brian's improved Are You the One, wouldn't the two confirmed couples be splitting the 250 from the blackout?
No, they wouldn't.
So set it up. What happens in a blackout in your new version?
That money's still gone. Although in my version, I don't think you would be having blackouts lose money because I just don't think you would do that. But if they were, they're just the confirmed perfect match to split whatever's money's left. So then now they're just splitting $750,000.
All right. So what do you think of the idea of the 250 from the blackout in any version? Let's say they still like split the money, the winning money, but let's say the confirmed matches get the money in the blackout.
Sure. I think you have to turn these people more against each other to make it not like a team effort. Because like that would be awesome if like anytime there's a blackout, it just goes to the people in the honeymoon suite. And now they're just like they get to celebrate all night. Look at us. We just got $125,000 a couple.
I do like, though, that like it, in a way, like it causes more drama the way it is because the honeymoon suite matches are like, are you effing kidding me? Like, how are you? Like, Alyssa's like, these are the most random matches ever. Like, she'd be rooting against them. And they, I mean, either way, it would kind of be, I think, just fine.
Which even adds more to the notion of why are they not just in the house? Like, they should just be in the house to be like, what? Like, don't do this or do what we're saying. And then people go, no, you go away. You already found it. Like, well, I don't get why they're not in the house.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that brings us to the end besides Twitter, unless you have anything else.
No, that's all I got.
So most of this is just like regrettable tweets, Geo edition. So Barbie, I can't thank Barbie on Twitter enough, at @RealityBarbie1, who like did the impossible task of watching Geo's Periscope. I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. Like, I'll do anything for this podcast, but I won't watch Gio on Periscope. So thank you, Barbie, for doing the dirty work for us. So Gio, after saying he would never tweet or do Periscope or whatever, went right to Periscope at the end of the last night's episode. Here are a couple of his claims. That the footage of him crying after the Truth Booth was actually a clip they took from after his Truth Booth with Kaylin. Okay, I don't care.
Didn't they show Julia there comforting him during the Truth Booth? What is he talking about?
I think they must mean like back in the house. I don't know. I mean, what is Gio ever talking about? Two, he claims that he did admit he was wrong and was sort of apologetic about screwing the house over the whole Julia thing. Too little, too late, bro.
Yeah.
Then he also trashed Julia, called her a bitch, saying that he has no respect for her. He confirmed the boyfriend rumors and said that there was unseen footage. Of course there was, of her leading him on and telling him she thought they were a match whenever Steven wasn't around, if he was like in the shower doing an interview.
Okay, there you go.
And then, God, this is gross. He and Julia were both talking about how they're very physical and aggressive. And Gio said to her, I'm the only one of the guys in the house that brought restraints and sex toys. And her response allegedly was, if you had me, you wouldn't even know what to do with me. You couldn't handle me. That I do kind of believe was a conversation that happened.
I could easily see that happening, sure.
And then he apologized to Steven and shook his hand during the matchup ceremony, but that was edited out. He also claims to have consoled Steven after the blackout. Why would Steven want Gio's consolation? That's like the last thing I would want.
No, definitely not. He would tell him to kick rocks.
And this one's incredible. Thank you again, Barbie, for this write-up. That girl was not actually his ex by Gio's storytelling. That was a friend, a quote friend he's had for years that he used to have sex with on occasion. His ex of 6 years, who he planned to propose to. So I guess 6 years, 6 days, like that's how you get a proposal, works for MTV. So they wouldn't allow her on the show. Another ex who he got pregnant and she terminated the pregnancy couldn't come for unknown reason.
Jesus.
Why would you say that on Periscope? Like, I had an ex I impregnated, but she couldn't come.
Gio just lets it all fly. Throw a little filter there, bud.
And then he did a Q&A where he said, here are the highlights. Again, thank you. I can't, really cannot thank this person enough. He's not in a relationship with his perfect match, whoever that is. And then he started going into how he still loves Kaylin and he saved Julia from showing her true colors on the date. He said if any other girl was on the date with them two and John besides Kay, then Julia would have shown her true colors about how she was a sex freak.
This guy is just like a delusional nut job.
So he alleges that Kaylin is the only person that stopped Julia from mounting him on the date.
Right. That's it. That, otherwise, bing, bang, boom, tied up to a tree.
What Gio loves to do is bitch about the edit, which I do believe like he probably has good moments that they're just not going to show because you're the asshole on the season.
Of course.
Welcome to television. So there's this clip going around that's actually not a deleted scene. It's like a preview for next week, which is a rap battle between Gio and Tori. And Gio says, he says, of course they cut out 75% of your verse and best punchlines. And because everyone was saying that, like, Tori murdered him, and Gio says, can't take any credit away from Tori Deal. She's dope and did a great job. Tori said, yo, for real, they cut out some of the best parts, bro. You slayed it on the reel. And Gio said, nah, you did your thing, Barbie. Nothing but love and respect for you. So Gio has love and respect for someone.
There you go. Good for Gio.
Gio also says, all these deleted scenes of people apologizing while mine just stay deleted. You mother effers are evil. And again, it's just like poor Gio. Again, they can't, like, you could blame the edit that they didn't show you good parts of you, but like you did everything that they're showing. Then he went on this like complete like sad roller coaster of tweeting pictures of him and Kaylin kissing, like from a date with a heartbreak emoji, and then a picture of Kaylin again from the show, like consoling Gio when they were about to go into the truth booth. And Gio posted that picture and said, listening to you talk, all I can think about is this. And then there was some video of like clips together of them on the show, him and Kaylin, and he tweeted dot, 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 like shame emoji. And then,
jeez, pull yourself together, man.
Gio wrote, phone calls with the only woman that matters makes everything better, dot, dot, dot. Like, we all watch the same show, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I will say that Kaylin has unblocked Gio because like he retweeted her, she retweeted him, something like that. So, and they're on the phone. So like they're still talking against any ounce of Kaylin's better judgment.
I bet they get back together. Freaking wackos.
I mean, I won't be reporting on it. What's incredible is, I don't know if you know that Dax Shepard is a big fan of Are You the One?
Oh, I did not know.
He tweets a lot and the cast goes crazy. So someone wrote to him, who do you think is Gio's match? And he wrote a straight jacket.
Yep, that's it. Nailed it.
Someone tweeted at Gio and wrote, why John trying to act like he was so fixated on Julia at one point? They wasted a truth booth on John and Julia, or he wasn't so fixated on Julia. So basically this person is calling out John because John wasted allegedly a truth booth also. And Gio said he still was. That's why he was so salty. And John wrote, except Julia came right out and told Gio she just led me on. So it's not the same, but think whatever you'd like. Awkward smile emoji. And then I don't know. This is incredible. Gio writes, Ryan is a dick. I wanted to retweet that, but I don't want to encourage Gio. And then he wrote, y'all cared about a check, not me. Stop being fake. Next tweet, shout out to your fake ass little glory moment, too. Whatever that means.
What's wrong with caring about the check?
He keeps saying, like, I'm not about the check. Well, like, maybe you should be.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings the Gio segment to a close. This might be the most important news, though, for everyone still hanging in here. Sam and Alyssa may or may not have broken up.
Womp, womp, womp.
But it's confusing. So you tell me what you think about this. So Alyssa tweeted, I'm very happy with life right at this moment. Just wanted to let everyone know that because I hope you are too. Sam started tweeting out headshots of himself, like half naked, and wrote, to clear things up, I am single, two hands out, smile emoji. And then wrote, new tweet with a new picture, just got to keep my head in the game, wink emoji, basketball emoji, and I know I'll find the one, in all caps, heart emoji. Red heart, for anyone paying attention. And then later he wrote, April Fool's devil emoji. I'm such a prankster. Y'all will never know my relationship status. Mwahaha, parentheses, evil plankton laugh. I appreciate the SpongeBob reference, but I don't appreciate being jerked around.
That's weird, the joke about on like,
well, then
Twitter.
It continues a little bit. Sam then wrote, my ex and I FaceTime once a week. She's awesome. Wish I was still in the house for this challenge. I'm sorry. I misread this tweet. He meant his ex, not Alyssa. I thought I read that when I first read this before the podcast. Wish she was still in the house for this challenge, like she and I. I'm sorry. That was an irrelevant tweet. What's not irrelevant is that Alyssa's sister tweeted, I respect his political beliefs. I'll just always be on my sister's side. I'm sure he and she will talk about their relationship. So...
oh God, they break up because of the election?
Sam, I do a podcast. I do a Periscope every 5 minutes. Whatever your last name is. Handler is suddenly being facetious on Twitter. Being coy about his relationship status.
Maybe we'll get that Skype reunion to clear it all up.
Who can say? I will keep you posted if I see anything else. But I mean, I get that you can extend your 5 minutes of fame by like planting breakup rumors about yourself, but I don't appreciate it.
Nope. Not when you're messing with Salissa or whatever the hell their couple name is.
All right, Brian, I have the gymnastics finals set to go and sushi burning a hole in my fridge. Is there anything else?
Nope.
Before we take this baby out?
Nope. We'll jump to the Olympics. So you can subscribe if you haven't at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me at Bus Driver's Route and follow you
at Lash Tweets.
We'll be back next week for the big finale to see who these bunch of weirdos get their money. So until then, have a good one.